I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Lane County History Museum's new exhibit, Toys, Historic Playthings from Lane County, opened on December 16th. The exhibit includes artifacts and photographs from 1850 to 1950, giving a reflection of Oregon life through the eyes of kids at play. With me at KLCC is exhibit curator Faith Kresge. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for inviting me in today.
Well, first describe in a little more detail what's contained within this exhibit.
Well, what I tried to do with this exhibit is create a historic overview of some different themes related to toys and play during the time period of the exhibit. So it features various artifacts and kind of highlights our overall toy collection. So it focuses on kind of the brightest parts of our collection of approximately 200 toys.
So what might be some of the toys that are included as examples?
So we have a lot of dolls. We have a really wonderful first edition of Clue. We have a bunch of World War II era cardboard toys that are a lot of fun. We also have a lot of miniature kitchenware and household items that are pretty fun. Probably my favorite item is a tiny pocket knife that's shaped like a shoe that belonged to a little girl sometime around 1870. So kind of covers the gamut.
How do you see the toys that are represented reflecting the issues of society during that century covered?
Well, one thing that might surprise some people is we have very few toys from the early years of Lane County, so the 1850s and 1860s. Part of this is because people were playing with homemade items or things they made themselves, so like a stick they carved that they found out in the woods or a little doll they made out of corn husks. And those kinds of things don't last. If children had store-bought toys, a lot of times it would be passed down through siblings. There also is the issue that a lot of people don't think about, that most children, especially children living in agricultural families, would have been expected to work. So they might have been helping with chores, they might have been actually out working in the fields, or a lot of times, especially with large families, the older siblings would actually be raising the younger siblings. So children had less time in general to play, and a lot of the families just didn't have the means to buy a lot of toys, and that really wasn't a focus. It isn't really until the 1890s that we see middle class families really encouraged to purchase a lot of toys, and toys started to become an item that were a tool that was used to enrich the lives of children. So there's a big shift in thinking that a lot of people might find surprising because we're so used to seeing lots of toys and a lot of us grew up with lots of toys.
How do you see the reflection of gender issues in society across this time period?
Well, it's something that comes up a lot in advertising. And what's surprising is a lot of toys, especially in the 19th century, were more or less marketed as kind of gender neutral. Toy soldiers and toy guns and things like that tended to be marketed more towards boys in terms of, you know, training them to become soldiers or training them in military strategy or pointing them towards professions. And girls tended to be given dolls to help them become mothers. Those kinds of ideas of training children through toys were popular. But boys also were encouraged to play with dolls to some extent. All children had bicycles, and you don't really see a lot of advertising that shows children interacting with toys. In the 1920s, marketers started focusing on specific toys directed at specific children to train them for a very set role in society. So a boy might be encouraged to play with an Erector set to learn to become an engineer. And you see Erector set advertising entirely features boys and their fathers playing with them. Whereas, you know, a girl is given a Shirley Temple doll, this is featured in our exhibit. We have an entire toy. It's called a wash day set. So it's a washer, an ironing board, an iron, and a clothes rack. And so those kinds of toys were given to girls to train them to become homemakers. So you see the ideas of training children for a specific path in life through toys being narrowed down to a very specific gender role. Interestingly enough, Lincoln Logs were very gender neutral in their marketing, so make of that what you will.
The near end of this era covered is World War II. So how did the war affect the toys of the time?
So during World War II, there was the idea of the home front having this crucial role in the war effort and keeping up morale with those left behind. And also, there was a much closer connection between the war and those left back at home through newsreel footage and other types of new journalism that was happening during the period. So children were more aware of the war than they had been during World War I. And so there was this idea of kind of total cultural saturation that happened. So radio shows featured war-related plots. Comic books had war-related plots. Movies, everything, all the media that these children were consuming was related to the war. And so that extended also to toys. Part of it was to get around rationing. So the government would allow them to manufacture toys if they were tied to the war effort. So you see them manufacturing tin warplanes or cardboard tank sets or items like that as a way to kind of connect children to the greater war effort. It's interesting, too, in the propaganda as well. You see children being featured. Like, there's several famous posters that feature children as kind of a motivation for fighting in the war for adults. So it's all interconnected and kind of this big system meant to help the U.S. win World War II.
Is Native American culture represented?
Yes, we don't have any artifacts related to Native American culture in this particular exhibit. We do have another wonderful exhibit about Native American culture that is in our museum that talks about Native resilience. But one thing I did with this exhibit is we have some wonderful images of Native children who were actually working as hop pickers in a hop yard in Coburg. So I featured those images of children, and it's of them playing. So we see a boy who's made like a little stick into something, and we have some other images of the children playing with dogs. So it's a way to kind of talk about the larger idea of play, especially play outside of toys. So, you know, we don't have any physical artifacts, but we can represent them in other ways. Another issue that I brought up in the section of the exhibit that covers the early years is there was no universal childhood experience in the 19th century. Gender, age, ethnic background, geography, and economic class, that meant everybody had a radically different experience. So a Native American child of a hop yard worker versus a middle class child of a college professor at the same time period are going to have wildly different experiences. So you can't really generalize about childhood experiences during the period.
What from this exhibit is reflected upon the nature of play itself and our current society?
So an idea that became popular in the 19th century that was kind of propagated in 20th century early childhood educators is the idea that play is work for children. So children learn social skills and all sorts of other important things that they will need as adults through play as children. So that idea is one that continues today and really forms the basis of a lot of our approaches to education and play and toys. And a lot of people don't really think about how new that idea actually is. The idea that play has a purpose is really fairly new. It's one that we start seeing in the 17th century with the writings of Locke and other early people interested in education during the Enlightenment. And so I think we think of that idea of play as being kind of innate, but it's not. And I think it kind of feeds into a lot of our ideas about, you know, things have to have a purpose and a reason. And, you know, that was not always the case with play. Play was kind of a free thing that you did, you know, spur of the moment. And it kind of conflicts with, you know, this other romantic idea that play is sort of free-spirited and imaginative and doesn't really have a purpose. So we have these two ideas that sort of color the way we look at play, but they're both very new to the span of human society. So I think the fact that we have all of these new ideas popping up, and they have really affected the way that we approach a lot of these things today.
Is there anything else that you'd like viewers of this exhibit to particularly sense or come away with?
One thing about this exhibit is it's very lighthearted and fun. So we talk about some bigger issues, but it's using toys. So we have a lot of really great things to come in and look at. I'm sure for a lot of people, this will bring up really great memories. And it's also a chance to see some things that you might not have ever seen before. We have a lot of toys from different fads and trends, of the 19th and early 20th century that died out. And there are reasons why they didn't last, but it's some kind of surprising information that people might not know. So it's a good way to see and learn some things you might not see otherwise. And that's something I really enjoy with this exhibit, is it's a good way to kind of surprise people with a new way of looking at toys, and also a chance to see some fun things.
Well, thank you so much for putting the exhibit together and for coming down to take a few minutes.
Great. Thanks so much for having me in today.
Faith Kresge, Exhibits Curator at the Lane County History Museum, with the new exhibit, Toys, Historic Playthings from Lane County. The exhibit will run until the beginning of December 2018. For more information, lchm.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.